Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
I want to take this time out for all the people that graduated and those that lost loved ones. It don't make any sense that the killings that's going on in our community with our young folks. I'm praying for you and you tonight. God allowed us to come together one more time for healing and deliverance. I want to take this time out tonight to thank you, Brother Jerry. Thank you, Mama Joe. I want to take this time out and thank you, Pearl Williams. God bless you tonight. Every letter, every telephone call is a expression of love. But I feel that God is speaking to you about, I want to pray tonight before we get started. And you know, it's evil spirits. Here's people trying to graduate, and they're graduating to get killed, get murdered, because of sick men and women are sick. See what I'm saying? So what I'm saying that Congress, the Democratic Republic, have to come together and just stop selling so many of these guns. Stop the selling of these assault weapons. And begin to lock some people up. And they might need to be locked up and don't come out no more. The mass murder in the last month, so many people been killed, young folk. So it's important to understand, God has allowed us to come together one more time for prayer and for able to touch. I want to take this time out to pray. Ramona, I'm praying for you. That's in Texas. Call me. Lisa, I'm praying for you. Though every letter, every telephone call. Brother Joe, all is well. I want to tell you, God has already opened up a special door for you. And I have to say something with so many children that's afraid to even go to graduation. You got to shut it down. because of one ignorant person that got a gun. And we have to stop the selling of these guns of these children. We have to stop the selling of these guns. And we have to have a government, Democrat, Republican, got to be involved and say, stop selling guns and tell these, stop making so many guns. It's enough guns right now that you ain't got to make no more. They already out here. You understand what I'm saying? So it's already out here. So what I'm saying to you tonight, I'm praying for the young lady that lost her son, lost her father, just in a graduation situation, black on black. And ain't nobody saying that everybody wants the almighty dollar. And Dr. King talked about the violence. Look at the killing that's going on over in the Ukraine, the dam, and all of the, they don't care, they want to kill. It's a spirit of murder in the atmosphere. But I'm praying that God change some things around. And I want to tell you this morning, this evening, God allowed us to be together one more time. And I feel that our ancestor, I say, is looking at us and saying where we're going. We lost so many. And even with this, what's going on now across this country, with New York, I've never been where New York had to stop the ball game because we got to take care of our nature. We got to take care of the ocean. We got to take care of our woodland land. We got to take care, and money ain't going to take care to take people to go out and clean the ocean up and people to go out and clean some of these deserts up, these plastics. Tonight, one more time, Father, we come tonight as humble as we know how. God of the universe, bless those that are traveling, those on their way, those that have lost so much. If a mother crying, lost her son and her husband in a senseless shooting, a place, a safe place where people have worked all the year to receive their letter that they had graduated, changed. It got to change within us, every pastor, every imam. It's got to come out of the people. Stop the killing, save the babies. It ain't your baby tonight, but it might be your baby in the morning. It ain't your daughter. It might be your daughter or your daughter. They in the car, they find them dead. They on drugs. But God allowed us to come together one more time in Arkansas, Mississippi, Louisiana, Illinois, Minnesota, Ohio, Michigan, all over the world. God has allowed us. Father God, we thank you for your healing tonight. We thank you for your revelation tonight. I say our ancestors trying to speak to us. And when they speak to us, you have to speak to the young folks. Stop the killing, save the babies. Thank you.
Church. To the days of this recording, produced by the great Reverend James Cleveland, one of my mentors on the piano. Small churches and city auditoriums.
Yeah.
God has allowed us to be here tonight. Whatever going on in your life, somebody at the table, somebody making arrangements for a funeral. But I want to say to you, there's no sorrow on earth that heaven cannot heal. I'm crying out in the spirit. I say, our ancestors, God has allowed us to be him. And we can't let negative energy keep us away from God blessing. God allowed us to be here. I just want you to raise my hand and say, the Lord allowed us to be here, and we're here one more time. Yes, God allowed us to be here. Yeah, yeah. Really, dear Baptist Church, I say that pastor, you going on, but you're a good pastor. crowd of survivors to come together one more time. But I want to say to you tonight, we are going, I'm praying for every letter. I'm hurt because so many people are being hurt because of evil. Father God, you know the storm is over. Bound these demons and devils and witches coming against our children, coming against our wives, our husbands, our brothers. The power of the Almighty God. The storm is over. Lord.
Thank you.
I want to say to you tonight, so many called me about the shooting at the graduation. One lady said, Bishop, I don't know, can I make it? But God is able, and I'm going to pray tonight. Father God, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, God that will clear our mind, touch the wayward boy, the wayward girl, those of the political prisoners, God touch them. Mother, the lost, the son, the daughter, the brother, the lost in the war. He lives on the streets of Chicago and Detroit. The kids are being shot down just going to the graduation. God, we ask you, the God of the universe, touch and heal our minds of our people. The mayor can't do it. President can't do it. The governor can't do it. Nobody but the Almighty God. And God, we ask you tonight, touch every letter, every telephone call. Those that they feel, one lady said, I feel all by myself. God never leave you alone. God is with you. And I want to say that to you right now. All is well. Lots of great songs came out of Detroit. The loss of Temptations and all that other stuff. But you know, the gospel songs out of the churches in Detroit stabilized people from Arkansas, Mississippi, people that came looking for jobs. It was something about those songs. God helped me to hold out. And my change gonna come and the storm is over. Those people that went through a whole lot. And tonight, I just want to share some of that with you. God is my everything. When you don't have nothing, you got to rely on God. And I'm praying tonight. You know, and a lady called me and said, Bishop, I hate to cut the TV on. Somebody being killed, somebody being shot. It seems like that we can't stop it. We can stop it if we come together.
People who have
we come together, that's right, you can stop it.
Are missing the warning signs of decaying earth. That's just what happened. Now here's a good time. Here's a good time. Come on. All right, let's go.
The government is inflating away your retirement savings. Here's how to stop them. If you're over 55 years of age and have more than $25,000 in your retirement account, you must see them. I'm about to reveal a little-known IRS loophole you can use to protect your wealth from the looming money crunch.
Thank you. Thank you. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy from these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The prophet and the valley of dry bones. Among those who were carried away was a young man by the name of Ezekiel, who had obviously been trained to be a priest. When we study his minute descriptions of the temple order and of the temple liturgy, when we read of his intimate knowledge of things directly or indirectly concerned with Judaism, we must conclude that he had formal training as a priest. But along with the vision that Ezekiel reveals here, along with others that he records in his book, one thing he wanted to convince Israel of, that her God had not fallen, and her God was not dead. He wanted Israel to understand that her God, as he depicts in the vision where he saw the vague outline of a man sitting upon a chariot throne, engulfed in a cloud, and with priestly functionaries going in and coming out from the mercy seat. He was saying, when he told them about wheels that he saw in the middle of wheels, and that these wheels were guarded by angels, and that these wheels had eyes, and that these wheels did not deviate from their course. He was telling Israel first about the overruling providence and power of God, and about Israel was a part of God's eternal plans and purposes. While Israel was one wheel, ever moving, and above that was another wheel, that was the Babylonian wheel, it was moving, and that above that was another wheel, which was God's universal wheel, and God's universal plan, and all of these wheels were moving, because all of God's plans are always moving. Maybe you think you have stopped him. Maybe you think you have blocked him. Maybe you can't see the movement. But God's plans never stand still. You can't bother them and you can't stop them. For the writer here tells us that angels were in God. Say with me, if you please. So, to Israel, we see in this vision, Babylon was a desolate place. Babylon represented a valley to Israel, a valley of depravity, a valley of disfranchisement, a valley of hopelessness, a valley of dry bones, a valley of lifelessness. In one of the great cities of the ancient time, Babylon to Israel was a valley. Someone might marvel, if Babylon was a great city, How could it be regarded by the Israelites as a valley? Well, you see, a city may be one thing to one people, or a country may mean one thing to one people, and altogether another thing to another people. When the white Europeans came to this country, embarked upon these shores, America to them was a land of promise, was a mountaintop of possibility, was a mountaintop of adventure. But to the Negro, when he embarked upon these shores, America to him was a valley. A valley of slavehood, a valley of slavery and oppression, a valley of sorrow, so that often we have to say, one of these days, I'm going to eat at the feast and pay. One of these days, the chariot of God will swing low. I wish I had somebody here praying with me. So that Babylon to Israel was a place of hopelessness. It was a valley of dry bones. A valley of dry bones. Well, the prophet tells us, and considering a prophet, what is a prophet anyway? Since the prophet was God's representative, God's ambassador, God's watchman there in Babylon. You know, and the word prophet can be interchanged with the word preacher. For a prophet is a preacher. And a preacher ought to be a prophet. Not a prophet such as we are told and talk about sometimes. Not a funny person. Not somebody with their head tied up or selling luck or anything like that. Not that kind of prophet. But I mean a real prophet. A prophet called of God. A prophet born of God. A prophet sent from God. A prophet inspired of God. A prophet is one who knows the past, who understands the present, and out of his knowledge of the past and his insight of the present, he's able to predict the future. A prophet is one who has sight, insight, and foresight. With sight, he look on things. With insight, he look into things. With foresight, he look beyond things. Such a man was Ezekiel. And he uses the symbol of a valley to describe Israel's Babylonian situation. The symbol of a valley. But you see, a valley suggests a low place between mountains. And to Israel, there were obstructing mountains surrounding her. Her situation in Babylon. Economic mountain. Social and political mountain. Religious mountain. Encircled and enclosed her in. And she was down there in the stagnant air of a valley in Babylon. So that he said that he was in the spirit. And that gives validity to it, you know. People speak a little bit about the spirit now. But I'm afraid that the church is losing a great deal of its spiritual consciousness. It wasn't unusual for folk to say when I was growing up as a boy, the Spirit told me to do certain things. Or was led by the Spirit to do certain things. So that this prophet was a spiritual mind, a spirit-filled, God-conscious prophet. And he said, while being in the Spirit, the Lord led him out to the valley. And then he led him to the midst of the valley and sat him down in the midst of it. But he was really saying that God led him to the heart of Israel's problem and in the situation in battle. That's what he was saying. God took him in a thought-doing service, in a thought-doing analysis and understanding of Israel's Babylonian situation. And when the Lord had led him to the heart of Israel's problem, set him down there, then for fear that way out on the periphery of things, he'd missed something. Then the Lord led him round and about the valley, or took him and encompassed the valley, circled it on all sides, that he might not miss the remotest problem of Israel's situation. And when the survey was far and complete, the Lord poured the question to him. Son of man, son of man, I wish you could hear me. Can these bones live? That son of man seemed to be reminiscent of man's limitation. Reminiscent of man's finiteness. Man's humanity. Son of man. Son of man, you are a scholar. You are an educator. Son of man, you are a scientist. Can these bones? Son of man, you are an engineer. Can these bones live? Son of man, you are a heart specialist. Son of man, you are a geologist. You are a botanist. You are a specialist in various stages of the human body. You are a psychologist and psychiatrist. You know all about drives and reactions and responses and tendencies. You know, with all of this knowledge, can you tell me, can these bones live? Can these bones live? Son of man, you found pathways in the air. You have circumvented the earth. Son of man, you found highways upon the sea. And you've made your own highways under the sea. Can these bones live? Bit of light. Oh, we know a lot of things. We know what the human problems are. We know men are mean. We know men are prejudiced. We know that men are narrow-minded. And we know they are selfish. We know men are unkind, ruthless, and cruel. We know men are murderers and sinful. But what we don't know is what to do about it. Well, we know what the problem is. We've made an analysis of it. We've already diagnosed the case. But what we can't do is write a prescription. I wish I had somebody whispering at me. So that the prophet had to say, Lord, thou knowest. Lord, thou knowest. When it comes to the answer of many of life's perplexing problems, when it comes to a solution to these problems, Lord, thou knowest. I submit myself before you, limited, finite, ignorant, and helpless, like dry bones in a valley. And thou knowest. Thou hast the answer. And you know that one thing about God. When we go to him sincerely, when we've been overwhelmed by some problem that we aren't able to grapple with, put it at his feet. Ultimately, if we have faith, he'll give us the answer. He'll work it out for us. And Ezekiel declared that he didn't know. And it was in the hands of God to give the answer. Why, the Lord, after Ezekiel had surveyed and had gotten a full understanding of what the Babylonian problem was, well, he said to him, why, you go out to give the answer and preach to those dry bones. The Lord, it looks like a helpless thing. It looks like an unprofitable thing for me to go out and preach to dry bones. Some of the living soul that I preach to don't respond to me. And what could I expect from dry bones? But the Lord has been going out and preaching, huh? Yeah. You know, God's ways, you know, are above man's ways. And you can't always understand why he orders you to do certain things. But if the Lord orders you, go on anyhow. Why, you may not see it, but there is a way. You may not know what you're doing, but God has it worked out. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Oh, Lord. And I saw that man go out in that valley. In that valley of dry bones. Of dry bones. Oh, Lord. And stood there. And preached to those dry bones. The Lord had given him a text to preach on. Well, Lord, what can I preach to dry bones about? Oh, Lord. Lord, what kind of subject can those dry bones to hear the word of the Lord? To hear the word of the Lord. Oh, Lord. I'm sure it must have been discouraging sometimes for him to stand there day and night and preach in that valley of dry bones. To preach in that valley of helplessness. And in that valley of lifelessness. In that valley of hopelessness. My Lord, to stand there and preach and not be able to see what the result would be. Oh, Lord, but he preached on anyhow. Oh, yes. And then one morning, the valley began to rumble. Yes, it did. One morning, the valley began to shake. And that was a mighty moving around. Oh, Lord. Then one morning, yeah, when he looked around to observe this rumbling, dear God, he saw those rabbits in motion. Yes. Foot bones was stretching out ankle bones. An ankle bone was moving on toward knee bone. Oh, yes. And knee bone was connecting with thigh bones. And thigh bone was moving on toward hip bones. And hip bone brother, leading to a backbone. Yes, they were. And backbone was joined with the shoulder bone. And shoulder bone was tied in with neck bone. And neck bone was tied in with head bone. Oh, the prophet kept on preaching. Yes, he did. Kept on preaching. Oh, it's my bone. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord said, wait a minute now. I want you to put on a new thing. Yeah. I want you, but just to wait a little while. And let me extract matter from the universe. Yeah. And let me order of that matter to come together and form man's anatomy. Let flesh get on the bone. Let skin begin to cover those curtains. Oh Lord, but Lord, all we have now are touches lying around. Turn now and get to the wind. Tell the wind that God will believe in you. Lord, Lord, and pour breath into these bodies. Lord, and that's my solution tonight. That's my answer tonight to every problem that we have. That is to hear God's word. Hear God's word. It's all right to go to the United Nations. It's all right to put on an international fellowship. It's all right to call on the sky. To call on our business. It's all right. But I tell you what you had better do. Hear God's word. Hear God's word. His word. His word. His word. His word. His word. He's a risen deep water. His word. He's a lamp to your soul. Yes. His word. Ah, oh, his word. Hear God. Hear God's word.
Thank you.
After this 11 o'clock hour, from 9 to 10, from 10 to 11, I'm praying for you, Mother Francis. I'm praying for you, Sister Oakley. And I'm praying for you tonight that's so crossed up, so messed up. Lady said, why my son had to die? Why my daughter had to die? There's no sorrow on earth that heaven cannot heal. Pearl, keep on praying. We got to keep praying. Stop the killing, save the babies. We got to know that we have a power in prayer. We have a power in God. And I don't want you to stop tonight. Before you go home tonight, pray. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
But I know that's not right. I talked to him this morning. And sometimes you have to be still. That's so. Hello, everybody, you see me talking back to you? Sometimes mama's there, father's there, forever. Life is there, children around, but you can't talk to them. Because they don't understand the situation. You can't talk to friends because well, but they just have a gossip in nature. Before you can hang up, your good friend calls you first. And then your good friend calls another friend. But it gets back to you, you crush. Sometimes you just have to deal with God in the stillness of your life. We sing a song here in the temple that says, any way you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied. And sometimes you just have to ask God, Lord, let it breathe on me. I'll be all right if you give the breath of the Lord.
Do you suffer from an enlarged prostate? You need to see this. A new P in zero gravity method.
But just breathe. I'm like the writer that says, you don't have to make no special trip to bless me. But while you're next door blessing my neighbor, do not pass me by. This kind of old fashioned. This was my choice. All the writers sang a song. I reach way back from you. Way back. And sometimes you have to be still and help. Hello, anybody here feel like talking back to me? Sometimes mama's there, father's there, forever. Life is there, children around, but you can't talk to them. Because they don't understand the situation. You can't talk to friends because they need well, but they just have a gossip in nature. Before you can hang up, your good friend calls you the truth. If your good friend calls you another friend. But it gets back to you, you crush. Sometimes you just have to deal with God in the stillness of the night. We sing a song here in the temple that says, any way you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied. And sometimes you just have to ask God, Lord, let it breathe on me. I'll be all right if you give the breath of the Lord. But just breathe on me. I'm like the writer that says, you don't have to make no special trip with less people.
But while you're next door blessing my neighbor, do not pass me by. This kind of old fashioned. If this was my choice, all the life was dead song. I reached way back in, way back. Young folks won't know it, but some of the older people might remember this. Yes, it says,
Thank you. American Parents Cancer and Licensed Child Care Business Assistance Network. Assist is investing in lunch. They can help solve that and give parents more child care options that they can get back to work. So the love of progress is safe.
Come and let's go back on a journey. The year was 1963. The place was Nutley, New Jersey, in the First Baptist Church where I pastored. And gathered there that evening was James Cleveland, the angelic choir. And I recall going to the pulpit and giving the folks a little spiritual advice before we sang. I said, when you get home, get your Bible. Read Mark, the fourth chapter, starting at the 37th verse, going down to the 41st verse. And in the context of these verses, you will find a story of Jesus and his disciples as they ran to the boat and went out on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus got tired and went down in the hinder part of the ship and went to sleep. But while Jesus slept, the cosmic phenomena of the world broke loose. The sky got as black as a thousand midnight down in a cypress swamp. The thunder rolled across the heavens. The lightning rolled a zigzag knee on the bosom of the cloud. And the water pumped and turned that little ship. And these men thought they knew so much about the sea, decided we better go get Jesus. And they went down and they shook Jesus. And Jesus got up, came up, stood on the ship, looked around, and signed this verse by saying, O ye of little faith, what are you so concerned about? And he raised his hand and said three words.
Thank you. More than 750,000 unfilled cybersecurity jobs in the U.S. The Google Cybersecurity Certificate was made to fill that gap and help grow the workforce that's keeping us all safe.
Thank you. Ah! Diabetes takes a lot of effort. The MiniMed 780G is the only system with meal detection technology that automatically adjusts and corrects sugar levels to help prevent highs and lows 24/7.